world dominated by fear and mass manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris White. The show is called Nowhere to Run. Always happy to be here with you on the network, and I got a big show for you. Actually, I've got a lot to do on this show, and I don't know where to start. First thing I guess I should do is correct all the stuff that I did wrong, and let's go ahead and do that.
I just picked up a fault in the AE-35 unit.
It wasn't lies, it was just...
This sort of thing has cropped up before. And it has always been due to human error.
I wiped a booger on your shirt. I made a dog and a cat kiss. I swiped a bolted-down TV from a Holiday Inn. I coveted the wife in Jaws 2. I lied to a waiter. I masturbated 8 billion times. And I have no plans to stop masturbating in the future.
Woohoo! I'm clean! In your face, Lord!
Okay, the last few shows, I've been talking a lot about a subject that I normally don't hit too much. But I've been doing a lot of shows on it because I think it's incredibly important. And one thing it has been doing, well, I was just listening to that show, I just sound crazy. I sound kooky. I sound like the fringe type person, which is, you know, possibly by design. You know, they've definitely demonized this issue enough, and that is UFOs and aliens and all that stuff. Which is kind of good. I think I like being kooky, crazy, you know, oh, he's just a crazy conspiracy theorist. There's a certain amount of protection in being a crazy guy that nobody will believe, and that's fine. So, you know, it's great. This is an insurance policy by me spending some time on this UFO thing. But I believe it's incredibly important. I am firmly convinced that the New World Order is going to be introducing aliens to us all here very, very soon. And they're going to be introducing them, regardless of what aliens are, regardless of if they're real aliens from outer space or they are neo-Nephilim, which is a term I just coined, thank you very much, or if they're just, you know, whatever, holograms, figments of our imagination, whatever the hell they may be, the New World Order is going to be showing us all this pretty soon, and it's going to be quite the revelation, or they're, you know, in some way they're going to be introducing this idea to us. One of the reasons, and this is not the reason they're going to be introducing the idea, but it fits in line with everything and it plugs in very conveniently for them, is you're even starting to hear this in mainstream science now that more has been getting out about the genetic code being such you know, knowing that the only thing we can compare the genetic code to is honestly computer code. It has a definite purpose, and it's, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into a lot of this, but mainstream science now admits that there has to be some sort of intelligent design, but as science is science, it will never even listen to the idea of God. That's the first rule of science. That's not nothing to be put in motion without first being put in motion. It is actually no God allowed, pretty much. But anyway, so now there are various reasons that they are having to own up to intelligent design of some sort. And you're hearing in major scientists and major publications are talking about alien seeding men, not just Zachariah Sitchin and Michael Cesarian anymore, but they're the ones getting all this airtime and funding. They're greasing the wheels, psychological wheels, as it were. Anyway, so I spent some time the last few shows talking about aliens and UFOs and what I thought that they were. I referenced a lot of Project Camelot and people like Gordon Novell, who they did an interview with, who seems to believe that aliens are real. And I've been on the trail of thinking that aliens were indeed exactly real, as in the sense of aliens, which I'm still not 100% sure about. Let me be so clear about this to everybody right now. I don't know. All I really know is that I'm wrong about something about this. I know I'm more probably right than I am wrong on some things, but I know that I'm wrong, I'm not asking anybody to believe the things that I say on this. The only reason I'm putting forth these unfinished theories about aliens and how they are, you know, what they may be and all this stuff, and even though I'm not firmly convinced on a lot of things, but getting closer, is because I don't think there's a hell of a lot of time left. I think that my biggest fear has always been that when they introduce aliens, you know, it's going to be such a mind-blowing thing to these people who aren't even close to waking up about anything, you know? I mean, they're living in the Matrix, man, and they're going to get introduced to the alien situation, and it's going to wipe their slate, their mental slate clean. I mean, they're going to be an open book. They're going to basically need somebody to tell them what to think about these aliens, you know? They need CNN and everybody else to give them a story quick, give them something to think about. And that story that they're going to get is not going to be right, but their mind is going to be so blown that it's going to instantly turn all those people into, like, dangerous people, because they have to believe this. You know, there's no anyway, it's not about them being dangerous is what I'm scared about. It I'm scared about them being sucked into this deception of all deceptions. I mean, this deception that furthers the devil's agenda for real. I mean, all this stuff, this new world order, the one world government, that's all infrastructure. That's all stuff that needs to happen. So when he forces everybody to worship people, him with the chip or whatever, however he forces us to actually bow down and worship him, you know, that's all infrastructure. He needed a lot of stuff in place before he could pull this one off. This is all that was. But this whole alien gig is a very, very key element, because it creates the one world religion. So, because automatically overnight, all religions change over and he can really roll in this new world religion, Luciferian, because those aliens can tell, he knows what we think of aliens. He knows that we think they are any number of things. And he can tell us, he can play that game right along with us. And imagine this, aliens can tell us when they land on the White House lawn or however they're introduced, they can tell us anything and we'll believe them. That's just how it's going to go. I mean, they could tell us that they seeded us. No, I remember back in the day when you were just little monkeys running around mining gold, and yes, we engineered you. It's happened. History has always happened. Never mind the fact that somebody had to create them and somebody had to create the people that created them. And somewhere along the line, there has to be, we have to solve all these problems of who put the Big Bang in motion and all this other stuff. Never mind all that, because there's not going to be a whole lot of time in between aliens and the devil forcing you to worship him. So a lot of those questions can be left unanswered. I can only think that somebody has been praying for me, and that's what I request. That's how you support this show, by the way, is prayers. That's if you would like the show, man, pray for me, and that would to not put out some disinfo and to be, you know, not let my tongue, you know, do any damage, which it can. if it's not in check. So anyway, I think that somebody has been, because I had this equivalent of an epiphany about this, and I've been going through these just awkward shows about this subject, just stumbling in the dark, basically, trying to spit it out as fast as I could, because I knew that there was something there, and I just want to warn people about it, in essence. But I didn't quite have it pieced together. I have seen the light, and I think this has actually really solidified my view on this whole thing. It's taken me a long time to have a solid view on this, and it may change a little bit more. But I'm about to play this video for you, and the crux of it is that aliens are, as I said in the new term I coined, these neo-Nephilim. They're just like the Nephilim of old, except for the sons of God, these spiritual entities in the old days actually had sex with the women in order to create the hybrids called the Nephilim. Nowadays, in preparation for the new flood, if you will, they are genetically modifying them. The abduction phenomena and the reproduction aspects of that are making these hybrid races. It goes into it, the specifics and the references, in this video that I am so bad about doing. But this view coexists with all the other views that I've taken previously. What I jabbered on and on about the last show for 30, 45, the whole hour about Project Camelot was actually coexist with this. It's just, if you can believe this and that at the same time, it actually makes so much more sense than anything else, because everything else has essential holes in it. That's the beauty of Revere Radio Network. I'm not really, and I, you know, I'm not getting paid for this. You know, I don't really have to answer to anybody if I'm wrong. You know, I don't get any repercussions as long as I'm not slandering or infringing on somebody's rights or something. You know, it's just my theories right now, and I do feel like I have to go ahead and say them, because I feel I'm up against the clock, as it were. I think that, you know, there's not a whole lot of time before they introduce this stuff, and if somebody didn't have a theory beforehand and say that it's going to happen, then it's all going to seem crazy, and they're going to believe whatever they tell them to believe. It's just going to be a big-ass mess. So, anyway. And ancient history works perfectly in this. Just a little background. I mean, what got me into conspiracy theories, really, well, the first thing I really ever started learning about with a passion was, you know, like the pyramids. And that was when I was young, you know, and never really looked back. I concentrated more on ancient history than I ever have about any subject. I still love it. And, you know, I didn't have any preconceived notions about it, just except for the conspiracy aspect, I guess. I you know, read everything I could about it for a long, long time, and, you know, whatever. Do the thing that people do when they're interested about something. But I hate to hear a lot of the anomalies of ancient history used as some sort of proof against this theory, or especially against, you know, the Bible in general, when I feel it now. I look back on it and see how it's corroborating all this very precisely. You know, in fact, all the, you know, every civilization speaks of these hybrid godmen. I mean, the Nephilim are very well documented, and it never, in the whole idea of the Nephilim is not a cop out instead of believing this or believing that. I mean, I've gone away from it, believed other things, and had to come back to it. I mean, after the evidence was presented, it makes so much sense. This is all it all makes sense. I got to go ahead and play this video. I'm going to actually be sort of narrating it, because there's a few times where it lists words and it needs to just have somebody say what it is. So I'm actually going to be narrating it. So I hope I don't ruin it. But anyway, let me do this, because, and then I do want, it's about 30 minutes. The video is called UFOs, Angels, and God. It is from thinkagainproductions.com, I believe. You can also view it at the revereradio.net forum. You can go there, and it's under multimedia. I've posted this and also the Project Camelot videos. So let me go through this. I'll have to narrate some of it, because it's just words on a screen, and some of it's actually pretty necessary. So, but it's extremely important. Pay attention. Here we go.
When men began to multiply on the face of the land, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Genesis 6, 1 and 2.
There certainly have been sightings in ancient that may be embraced by ancient mythology. The idea that the modern sightings might have a relationship with the ancient Nephilim events of the Old Testament is conjecture on the part of some of us as scholars, but I think it would seem to be consistent with the remarks of Jesus himself. As Jesus himself said, that as we get to the end times, he says, as the days of Noah were, so shall the days of the Son of Man be. Now, that what he might mean by that is simply that it was business as usual until the judgment came, and that's what many scholars would infer. But there are many scholars that believe the text implies even more than that. In order to understand what Jesus meant, we need to understand what the days of Noah were like. And clearly, the sixth chapter of Genesis demonstrates that the purpose of the flood of Noah was to deal with what was, in effect, a gene pool problem.
There isn't anybody who is predisposed to being abducted. The only thing is that their mother or their father must have been an abductee. And what that means is that they're abducted from the time they're infants all the way through until the time they're adults. And they're abducted in great frequency over and over and over again. So they usually talk about having sperm taken, having eggs taken, harvested essentially. When women become older, they discuss fetal implantations where they suddenly realize they're pregnant. And they'll take an early pregnancy test and it shows positive, which of course can't be possible. And they'll go to their gynecologist, they'll do a blood test, which is absolute, which is 100% reliable, and the doctor will say, congratulations, you know, you're pregnant. And they think to themselves, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Doctors invariably think pseudocyesis, which would be hysterical pregnancy, when a person or a woman really, really, really wants a child and begins to fantasize it and even causes some sort of physiological reaction. However, most people are not like that. Some people have already had kids, they don't want any more. Some are too young for it. You know, you have to have a certain sort of mental set to have pseudocyesis. Or they think miscarriage. And for women, they say, well, you know, if I had a miscarriage, I think I would have noticed that. With fetal implantation, we get, of course, fetal extraction. When they are not pregnant, they will remember events that happen where a fetus is extracted from them. It's very, very small, but they'll know during the event that the fetus is being taken. But it happens to them so often, it's familiar. So we've seen these reproductive procedures quite a bit. In fact, it's critical to the abduction phenomenon. Without the reproductive aspects of it, there wouldn't be an abduction phenomenon. This is the point of it.
The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Genesis 6, 3 and 4.
The word Nephilim comes from the Hebrew verb nephal, the fallen ones. They are the hybrid offspring of the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God. It's a technical term, Hebrew term, used of angels. And these fallen angels cohabited with human women and produced a hybrid offspring. It was part of Satan's strategy. This view of Genesis chapter 6 and all of that is not free of controversy today. However, that is the view that was embraced by the ancient Hebrew sages. That is the view that is substantiated by the ancient rabbinical writings. That is the view that was accepted by the early church. When the Hebrew scriptures were translated into Greek, the language is even more specific. And so this idea that they were somehow just a leadership or sons of Adam or something were contrived arguments that emerged in the 5th century, the so-called lines of Seth idea. And that's still taught in many seminaries. The problem with it, it's not biblical. Because in the New Testament, it even confirms this. Both Peter and Jude make reference to this, clearly talking about these angels that went after strange flesh, that abandoned their previous clothing, they disrobed from their previous existence to indulge in this, what shall I call it, chicanery.
This event was echoed in mythologies everywhere as the age of the Titans and demigods. The same way that the UFO phenomenon is echoed in our fiction.
why it resonates so deeply in our society.
When we study the passage in Genesis 6, we'll notice that one of the distinctives of Noah was that his genealogy was unblemished. And the Hebrew word there is tamim, which is used of physical defects. In other words, one of the reasons that Noah was picked, probably many, but one was that one of his distinctives was that his genealogy wasn't contaminated by these goings-on. It would appear that the strategy of Satan was to introduce this as a means of corrupting the human line to preclude God's plan of redemption through the Messiah, which had to be a kinsman of Adam.
The parable of Jesus that I count as foundational for Satan and evil is the one where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who owned a field and sowed good seed in it, had his servants go sow good seed in it, and then by night an enemy came and sowed weeds in the field and then went away.
Hybrids and biblical prophecy.
Well, the Nephilim, the book of Genesis, of course, are the hybrid offspring of these strange interludes between the fallen angels and the daughters of Adam. And so they're hybrids. And they are very prominent in the early chapters of Genesis, but they're also, the scripture says, occurred after that to some extent.
Right.
But they're hybrids.
The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, Genesis 6, 4.
As we study the passages in the Bible that describe what we call the end times, it's interesting that one of the characteristics that shows up in Daniel 2 is that it says they will mingle themselves with the seed of men.
The prophetic dream of Nebuchadnezzar gives us an astonishing detail concerning end times. Scripture indicates that the last government of earth will be a hybrid government, iron mixed with clay.
And where you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not adhere to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Daniel 2:43.
Now, in order for them to mingle with the seed of men, the they have to be something other than the seed of men. So it's just a hint, but it's a profound hint that somehow in the end times there's going to be again some kind of commingling, some kind of intrusion into the genetic DNA makeup of people that's going to be a contaminant that will be part of the end times. And that's why there's so much scholastic interest in this UFO business, in the abduction narratives and reports, and we may very well be being plunged into a period of time about which the Bible says more than it does about any other period of time in history, including the time of the Gospels when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee.
When people are abducted, as part of the procedures, they will sometimes be taken into a room and they will see containers. And in each container there's liquid, and in the middle of the liquid there's a tiny fetus floating. Later they'll be shown babies. Small, odd-looking babies, as they will report. Their babies don't look right. Physically they're phlegmatic, they look like they're sick, they're not bouncing babies that are grasping and gurgling, they're silent. They almost look like they're half dead. They also have unusual features. People say they look like they're sort of half human, half alien. They're odd looking, yet they look sort of human. My colleague Bud Hopkins says that they called them hybrids originally, and that's a name that's stuck. They then will have to hold the baby, have some sort of physical contact with the baby, put their hand on the baby's stomach, hold the baby close to their skin. There must be skin-on-skin contact. Oftentimes, when the baby's a little bit older, they're required to feed the baby. Sometimes they'll be brought into a room, this is now men and women, where there will be what looks like two-year-olds, three-year-olds, one-and-a-half-year-olds walking around. And they are required to play with them, have contact with them, and we see these toddlers when they're 4 years old, 5, 7 years old, 9 years old. They're already children, young children at that point. People describe them as adolescents. They describe them as young adults, they describe them as adults, and they don't describe them as older adults so much. By the time we see them as adolescents, we see them involved with the abduction phenomenon, performing tasks, they have jobs to do, they're part of the world of abductions, going about their business, doing what's required of them.
Let's remember that when Jesus briefed four disciples in his confidential briefing on his second coming, he opened his discussion and he closed his discussion with the urgent admonition, let no man deceive you. We need to understand that the characteristic of the period that we're being plunged into is one of deceit, one of very clever misguidance by the enemy. We do have an enemy. He's very knowledgeable, very resourceful. And we are moving into open spiritual warfare. We're used to conflicts in countries about politics, different views. Today, there's a fundamental war going on in worldviews.
Sometimes, abductees will be brought into a room, and their attention will be directed at a screen-like device. And the person will hear a voice in their mind saying, can you tell the difference between us and you? Now, depending on who the person is, they will say, what do you mean the difference between us and you? Everybody is the same. And they'll hear in their head, see, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? This pretty soon, in the future, we will all be together. You won't be able to tell the difference, and it will be wonderful. Some will be able to tell the difference. Some will say, well, yes, this one here looks like you, and this one here looks like us. And at that point, they will say, well, you know, there will be a difference, but we will all be together, and you're one of the lucky ones. You can tell the difference. Most people won't be able to. The key fact here is that they are saying, in the future, we'll all be together.
The coming world leader.
As you follow the progress through the centuries, and you see how the power structures have changed, it has been going more and more towards an economical power structure, to control the world with money, and that seems to be where it's going. More and more we're looking towards a world bank, one world system, one world currency. I mean, already Europe has joined its currency together. Americans, North Americans are thinking the same way. So this is really the work of Satan. This is his way of getting command and control over the entire world.
As we deal with the end time scenario in the Bible, one of the dominant players is a world leader. In fact, it's two guys working together, but it's a world leader that is going to successfully unite the world into a one world religion. He's going to exalt himself above all that is called God, that includes Allah as well as the Jews and the Christians. He somehow is going to deceive the whole world. He's the most popular guy that's ever come along.
All religions are currently anticipating a savior.
There are experts that have studied the scripture that believe that he could very well have an alien connection or even be one himself.
And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and a great authority.
The involvement of these alien entities may be a far bigger factor in the climax that the Bible portrays than most classical scholars have really been sensitive to.
Seven, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I don't know what it was, but it just overthrew like a couple of hundred feet above us. It was like a, I don't know if it was a rocket or whatever, but incredibly fast, opposite direction.
In the opposite direction?
Yes, sir. And the time was, 2107. It was too fast to be an airplane.
This is NASA video.
Okay, thank you. Houston 96 Boston Center. Center maintain flight level 180.
Down to 180, yes, sir. 986.
Houston 986. You see anything like a missile in your area, perhaps off to your right?
Take a good look, but I don't think if it's going that fast, I probably won't get a chance. We just saw a split there go by a little bit.
We found a phenomenon that is global, that is random, that is intergenerational, that happens in great frequency, something we never expected to see, that is goal-directed, that is done clandestinely, secretly, and that has as its goal ultimately an integration into the society on their terms, not on our terms. And I think that there's not a lot we can do about it, unfortunately.
A son for the dark side, the chief hybrid.
You know, it's interesting that in the book of Genesis, the very first prediction of Jesus Christ is when God declares war on Satan, Genesis chapter 3, and he speaks that the ultimate redemption of man will come from the seed of a woman. And there is even a hint of the virgin birth. But that phrase is actually a contradiction in biology as well as grammar, but that's the term used. But most people overlook in that very verse, he also speaks of the seed of the serpent. And so it's clear that Satan has a role in this final climax that we're all heading to.
The Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Genesis 3:15.
What we think is going on here, because eggs are taken and sperm is taken, that they are joined together in vitro. They are joined together outside, and at that point, either DNA is added or the fertilized egg is altered in some way. And when that happens, we posited that you're going to get a bell-shaped curve, that some are going to look really alien, some are going to look really human, and most are going to be in the middle. What we've also learned is that what they then do is take the DNA from one of these hybrid children and inject that into the embryo. And then you get a skewed bell-shaped curve where some of them look alien, a lot look in the middle, and a lot more look a lot more human. Then you take DNA from that generation and do the same thing. And you keep doing it over and over and over again until pretty soon you get hybrids that look very human. There's slight differences, but very human. And that is, in fact, what we have been seeing, much to our amazement and chagrin.
But in contrast to stories from the ancient world, which produced giants, sexual contact between aliens and humans is absent. Perhaps this time a different strategy is at hand.
I now believe that this is a kind of integration program into the society. As a program, it is being done for a reason. It is goal-directed, and it had a beginning, a middle, and it's got an end. They are doing this for a reason. That's critically important to understand. Not only that, this is clandestine. It is secret, and it is secret for a reason. I've been involved with studying UFOs and abductions for over 40 years, and it was always kind of thrilling and exciting. Now it's depressing and fearful, and it's not something that I enjoy hearing. As an academic, you're required to examine that data to see whether it's true or not, and if it is true, to go where the evidence leads you, even though you might kick and scream while en route, and I have kicked and screamed en route. But as an honest academic, you're required to do that. And as a historian, you're required to do that especially. And that is where it has led me, and it has led me into areas that I don't want to go. Not only that, it's embarrassing to talk about this. I understand how completely insane it sounds. I am fully aware of my words, of what I'm saying, and the effect that this has on people. Oh, this is just nuts. And I understand that. But in order to be academically honest, I must say it nonetheless, even though it puts me in a very bad position. I just wish that other people in the scientific community would at least learn a methodology of studying this phenomenon. They haven't done that, and it's not going to happen, from what I can tell. I mean, I can't tell the future, but the chances of that happening are very remote now, because we have looked at every conceivable kind of psychological explanation.
Tiene el radar, and none of them lo tiene el FLIR, lo estamos viendo en el FLIR. Es un objeto luminoso. lleva rumbo contrario a nosotros, pero no nos deja, lleva, está 2 millas atrás de nosotros.
I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. John 14:2.
I am waiting for the coming of Christ. I believe he is coming in ships, and that he will come and collect us.
See, I'm not sure if that guy, just to stop the movie right here, if he's believing that because it was just a quick clip of that guy, and he's not in this movie very much, and I don't know if he's saying that because he believes it, that Jesus is coming back in spacecraft, because it's not consistent with the rest of the movie. I don't know if he was saying that to illustrate a point. It doesn't really make that clear, so just so you know.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17.
This prophesied collecting event could be understood as a mass abduction. Satan and his chosen hybrid may villainize the coming Messiah and deceive the world they rule by misrepresenting him. Concerning the world leader, Scripture states,
"He shall speak great words against the Most High." Daniel 7:25. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Revelations 13:6.
Some of the passages that puzzle me the most in the scripture, it describes that the whole world is going to go to war against God. Now, I can understand the world rejecting God, I can understand the world not believing God, but somehow it's always been hard for me to visualize the world mustering its resources to go to war against God. That all, and yet that's clearly what it says in Psalm 2 and a number of other places. But you know, suddenly I can begin to understand how this might happen, because there are many people that believe that there are already aliens among us conspiring with the government, whatever, and they visualize these as being the good guys. They're here to help us. They're here to give us advanced technology. There are people that really have this kind of attitude.
One of the other procedures that people describe is a certain kind of staring procedure, where a person will say that they're being looked at. And I'll say, well, what do you mean being looked at? Do you mean they're just looking you over? You know? I'll say, no, he's looking at me very closely. And I say, well, where is he looking? Is he looking? And these are purposely misleading questions. Is he looking at your abdomen? Is he looking at your stomach? Is he looking at your knees? You know, where is he looking? No, he's looking at my face. I say, well, is he looking at, you mean your chin? He's looking at your chin? No, he's looking at my eyes. And I'll say, well, how far away is he from you? Well, his forehead is touching mine. I'll say, well, can you close your eyes? No. Can you look away? No. And they're being stared at a distance of maybe an inch, 2 inches, sometimes forehead touching forehead. What this is some sort of neural engagement. And people can see and imagine things that are going on in their brain, practically. They can almost understand which neurons are being innervated as they're hooking into the optic nerve and using that as a conduit to go into other neural pathways and innervate specific anatomical sites within the brain. People see images in their mind when this happens. They will see images of horrible events, catastrophic events happening. The earth breaking in two. Nuclear war, a meteor hitting, in this imaging that they're going through, they will have a job to do or tasks to do. Now, the reason I could think this is because there were other kind of neurological events that were happening to them, that they kept describing these, where they would have to sit at a council and perform certain tasks almost electronically, or have to do something with their eyes. They would have to look at a specific situation and change it with their eyes. Or there were all sorts of things that they had to do, all of which had something to do with neurology.
Deceit.
I can begin to see a scenario which we sometimes call good cop, bad cop kind of thing, where Satan's emissaries supposed to be our friends, to help prepare us for the bad guys who are coming. And I can visualize the whole world being deceived and taking up arms against God, thinking that they're being led by their friends who are actually Satan's emissaries.
Eventually, they began to talk about how in the future they would have these certain tasks to perform, and they had to make sure that they performed these correctly. And we began to realize that from the time they were children all the way up through adults, they were being trained over and over again to obey eventually the signal when it was given for them to do certain tasks that they had to perform in the future.
There are passages in the book of Revelation which describe spirits like frogs that lead the whole world to the battle of God Almighty. And I suddenly can, in my imagination at least, visualize a scenario where these beings, if they become prevalent enough and powerful enough and accepted enough by the culture, getting the culture to take up arms against the Second Temple. And that could be, the Bible does so seem to be the main line, because the scripture does say that God is simply so unusual that they will believe the lie, not just a lie, not just a seed. There's apparently a specific, gigantic deceit.
God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie.
The big lie, I think, that's coming is that Satan has got to fool the world. He's got to lie to the world, got to make them believe that the one who is coming, Christ, the Son of God, is some sort of alien invader who is coming to take over the world. And so making him seem like an alien invader will make it very easy to get the armies of the world and the governments of the world in line to defend the world against such an invasion.
This sentiment has already been echoed in the
Our
past.
Differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Why would the armies of the world fight Christ when he came, right? Well, they had to be, number one, fighting for Satan, against Christ. Right? So Satan has got to fool the world, he's got to lie to the world, got to make them believe that the one who is coming, Christ, the Son of God, is some sort of alien invader who is coming to take over the world. And so making him seem like an alien invader will make it very easy to get the armies of the world and the governments of the world in line to defend the world against such an invasion. So this is one possibility, I think, that is coming.
Fire, 7, go ahead.
How come
you
at 10 o'clock high?
This is Houston. Say again, 7. Roger.
This is the Valley of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, where good is to triumph over evil in the final battle of this cosmic war. The prophesied kingdom of the Messiah will then be established. Every culture sees the same phenomenon through the filter of its own paradigm. However, the Bible presents us with a reality that spans all civilizations, in which the angels of God are here on Earth and their influence is unmistakable. The UFO phenomenon is evidence of their presence. Throughout the ages, Satan has worn the cloak of many disguises and has brought entire civilizations under his worldview, reinventing himself each time, always as a higher entity, a god. Today, he has turned himself into a myth, fictionalized history, and has been rewriting it for us. Scripture cuts through his disguises and reveals their evil strategy. Will you recognize the truth? Will the world, at Satan's command, take up arms against God as prophesied? At this turning point in our history, as the fallen angels present themselves as the saviors of mankind, will you be seduced?
That movie was from Think Again Productions. That was the name of it, thinkagainproductions.com. It was Chuck Missler was one of the main characters in that movie. Chuck Missler, I've talked about him quite a good deal. You can hear more of his discussions and all that at khouse.com, I think. khouse.org, maybe, but K, the letter K, house, H-O-U-S-E. So we have this picture of developing of these aliens being engineering themselves and using the people of the Earth to create this hybrid bloodline. What I want to point out right now in the 15 minutes or so that I have left is the connections between this story and the Arizona Wilder David Icke reptilians thing, and show some of the things that are parallel with that, because it starts to give everybody a picture of what's going on, a complete picture of what the aliens, reptilians phenomena is and how it relates to the New World Order and the people running this world. Now, I encourage everybody to watch the Arizona Wilder David Icke interview for historical reasons. You don't have to believe it, but or whatever, but it is something that you need to watch, I think. On Google Video, YouTube, Arizona Wilder is her name, David Icke. You can also go to the revereradio.net forum. It's posted under multimedia by me, Nowhere to Run. Somewhere near the bottom of one of the, I think the thread is the most profound videos on the net or something like that. Anyhow, Arizona Wilder, although she is a mind-controlled victim used to conduct a lot of rituals, she has been told this backstory of what these reptilians are, because she's at these rituals and sees them, you know, very clearly. But she's been told throughout her very early programming that these reptilians were, you know, from whatever, she's been given a backstory, and it sounds a whole lot like Zachariah Sitchin's backstory or whatever. But the interesting thing is she's talking, when you just read between the lines, she's talking exactly of these Neo-Nephilim entities. She speaks of, I mean, she's being used to give birth to these. She actually helps give birth to, for other people, and the whole genetic hybrid problem. She's, you know, had abortions. She's given, had many babies taken from her and all this stuff. And she also ties it into how these people relate to the rulers of the world. She's saying point blank that all these different rulers of the world, which she names by name, are these entities, or they're hybrid entities, which, if you look at that passage in Daniel, when he's talking about the last empire of the world, keep in mind, the last empire of the world will be iron mixed with clay, and it will not cleave to each other, even as iron doesn't mix with clay, because, and he's saying that they're mingle themselves with the seed of man, as Chuck Missler said. That means that they must have something other than the seed of man that they're mixing. This hybrid thing is actually going to be, according to Daniel, the actual root, the empire itself will be these hybrid, will be running the empire, the hybrids will. And that is consistent with what Arizona Wilder is saying, that these people running our world are actually these hybrid entities. That's pretty interesting. Now let me show a few other parallels that she says. One thing, if you remember in the movie that you just heard, that it was talking about that hypnotic stare. Well, she also says that they do this hypnotic stare during the rituals to terrorize people, basically to get their blood to secrete certain things, whether or not they're going to secrete it because they're about to kill them, or if it's a woman, they'll do it to get them to terrorize them to secrete blood if they're starting to menstruate or whatever. So it's interesting to hear this. I'll play.
That they're looking for.
Yes, that and this other element comes and secretes out through the blood. This all comes out through the blood at that time, and it's at that point they are actually staring into the eyes of the head of at some of these rituals, or at a reptilian, they are staring into the eyes of this person, and they're held. It's a hypnotic gaze these reptilians have, and it holds the victim in an absolute trance, in a trance of terror, and then they are killed at that moment as they are staring into their eyes. And not only do they can't hold their shape when this happens.
The human shape
they cannot hold. They go back into reptilian shape as this is happening, because it's a...
Okay, it's interesting to note that she's saying that they're using this hypnotic gaze to create terror so they can get the blood in the right mixture of whatever that they use it for. Apparently, they don't have to kill him. They can get the blood at other points. They just want the chemical that's secreted because of terror, some adrenaline thing, no doubt. But what's interesting is that in the movie we just listened to, what were they doing when they were staring into the eyes of people? They were showing them these visions of catastrophes and all this bad stuff and meteors and all this horrible stuff that no doubt would terrorize somebody. It said it kind of hijacks their optical nerves and sort of shows them this imagery of all this bad stuff. So that's interesting, I thought. Again, I encourage everybody to listen to this Arizona Wilder interview. I think it's really important. Take it with a grain of salt. Read between the lines a little bit with what she says. She is freely admitting that she's been mind controlled very extensively and given a lot of backstories and stuff. So you kind of got to see where she's going with a lot of stuff in order to get the most out of it. But I personally believe that Arizona Wilder is one of the smoking guns of this whole thing, and so much information has come from her. Although the same information can be skewed to mean all this other stuff. And as it said in that movie, one of the dangerous things that I think I was close in danger to, and it still may go that way, is thinking that, you know, all these aliens and the in cahoots with the government and covering all this stuff up, and we need this alien technology, which we may well need. But to think of them as any kind of benevolent saviors is falling in line with the problem here. I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm just saying that they may not be what they say that they are. The technology may be real, but the technology can have any number of origins. These spiritual entities are literally on the earth doing literal things and literal medical experiments and inventing technology. The Nephilim were real, you know. Daniel was throwing rocks at a giant, and, you know, they were doing a lot of different real things on the earth, and that's what's going on right now. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of man be. And that could very well be what they mean. I mean, I believe that we're in the last days here, and if that's what the last days are going to look like, they're once again going to be infiltrated by this hybrid race, then so far we're consistent with that. Now keep in mind, everybody, this is just a theory, but I do feel like this is getting closer. It's so far, all this stuff is plugging into all the other stuff that I have, in the course of really concerning myself with all this stuff, is so far plugging in with all the other elements so far. I haven't hit a roadblock yet in this new theory about this. And if I do, you guys will be the first to know it. And again, I ask for everybody to donate their prayers to me in this show, if you could, to make sure I don't, you know, tell anybody too much bad stuff and keep my tongue from doing any damage to anybody. Okay, it's coming up at the end of the show. I got to do some stuff for Revere here real quick. Again, I'll sign out and saying, if you want to email me your hate mail or whatever, please do. Tell me where I'm wrong. My email is chris@conspiracyclothes.com. It's really easy to remember, chris@conspiracyclothes.com. Please email me, tell me whatever you want. I got a secure server, it's at least on my end, and it's all good. So do that, and also the Revere Radio Network, please donate. If you got $5, $10, go to revereradio.net, hit the donate now button or whatever, and you can. It's really easy to do. You can do a PayPal, all this other stuff. Help keep the wheels turning over there. It's the worldwide home of free speech. A lot of good things are happening there. You can also advertise with Revere. A lot of it's growing every day. There's a lot of people to reach. If it's a very niche market, so if you have something that's a very niche product, then that's the way to do it. Coming up on the end here, so I'm going to do some stuff, and I might have a little time on the other side. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you probably next week.
Well, you know all the guys upstairs are into Satanism as well, don't you, Tom?
Oh, my.
Tom, why don't you join us at the country club this weekend?
The country club?
Yeah, we're going to play a quick 9 holes of golf, and then we're going to sacrifice Jenkins.
Have you ever stood and stared at it? Marveled at its beauty, its genius. Billions of people just living out their lives. Oblivious.
You're not just telling us what we want to hear.
No, sir, no way.
Because we just want to hear the truth.
Well, then I guess I am telling you what you want to hear.
Boy, didn't we just tell you not to do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then.
Oh, we're done for. We're done for. We're done diddly done for. We're done diddly doodly done diddly doodly done diddly doodly done diddly doodly.
Fighters, snap out of it!
Well, this is all very sophisticated.
Hey, dude, don't go away, man. Come on, this affects all of us, man. Our basic freedoms! I'm staying. I'm finishing my coffee. Enjoying my coffee.
This is Revere Radio Network, Tampa.